Esther is one of the Bible's great stories, and today we are dropped right in the middle of it. So, we're just going to dive right in and begin with a little recap of what has happened so far. The king of Persia needed a new queen. He was presented with many women, but eventually chose Esther, a Jewish woman who was raised by her cousin Mordecai. When she was chosen, she was taken into the royal palace and began her new life as a wife and a queen. The king also had a right-hand man named Haman. The problem was that Haman hated Mordecai. And so Haman came to the king with a plot to kill Mordecai, as well as all the Jewish people, in exchange for paying into the king's treasury. When Mordecai learned about this horrendous plot, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and walked through the city wailing and crying in anguish. And as the news got around, the rest of the Jews joined him in weeping and lamenting for their lives. They and all their people would be no more. This is a moment in the story of deep desperation and hopelessness. And it's where we pick up today. Now, Esther was completely unaware of what was going on outside the palace walls. She had not yet heard about Haman's plot to kill the Jews, but she had gotten word through her maids that people were wailing and crying in the streets, that something outside the palace was happening, and it was not good. And when Esther heard about this, she was deeply distressed. She hated seeing people in this state. She had no idea what was going on. The only thing she could think to do was to send her cousin Mordecai some clothes so he could take off his sackcloth and put some new clothes on, but he didn't accept it. So she sent her attendant Hathach out to find out what was happening, to get the whole story. He met up with Mordecai in the town square and got all the details, and that's when Mordecai sent him back to Esther, back to the palace, with the details of the plot and a charge for her to go speak with the king. A charge for Esther to go to the king so he could save the Jewish people. Now, something I noticed in the story this week was the shift that happened when Esther became queen. When she was chosen as the king's new wife, she began a new life and entered the palace, all of which disconnected her from her people. She was Jewish, but she'd never disclosed that to her husband. She was a queen, but not in communication with the king for 30 more days. She was in the palace, close to the people in power, but only knew what was going out in the what was going on out in the world via her maids and eunuchs. When Esther became queen, something changed, shifted. She was now separated from her community, removed from their daily lives, their suffering, their realities. She was now living in an entirely different world, a world in which she now belonged, but with new rules and expectations and status quos. She was now in a bubble. Like Esther, we all live in bubbles too. Little palaces of communities and news and stories that separate us from people on the outside, that give us a community of like-minded people, but distance us from our neighbor experiencing something different. Now, sometimes the distance shortens and the world begins to impose itself onto our bubbles. We begin to hear about the suffering of our neighbor out there. And when this happens, we become distressed. We realize that we may all be living in our bubbles, but we know what's happening outside of them, and it's not good. And so Mordecai comes to Esther in her moment of distress and charges her to go to the king to do something. But she has reservations, and valid ones at that. Because in the palace, in her bubble, she's not allowed to go to the king within 30 days or she'll be put to death. So she responds to Mordecai's charge saying, "Sorry, cousin, but I can't do anything. You may think I have power here, but I really don't. You may think I can do something, but it would threaten my life. It would threaten my safety and protection if I did." Thankfully, Mordecai doesn't accept her response. There is too much on the line for him and his people. He knows he has to break through Esther's bubble, and he's the only one who can do it. So he writes to her again, a little more pointedly this time, saying, "Do you think you'll be saved because you're in the palace? You think you have protection and safety in your bubble? Think again. Because if you stay silent at such a time as this, not only will you die, but your family will die, your community will die, your entire people will perish forever. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Esther does eventually risk her life by going to the king and invites him to two banquets where she convinces him to reverse the plot and save the Jews. And she does this because she responds to her call, the charge that Mordecai gave her, a call to act within her bubble on behalf of those suffering outside of it. And a call to recognize that she was part of a bigger bubble, a bubble that gathers all people into God's love and care. Mordecai was clear with her that the people lamenting and weeping in the streets outside the palace, they were her people. They belonged to her, and she belonged to them. They happened to be afraid and threatened by this plot and had no power to do anything, but they were human and their lives deserved to be saved because they were children of God. They were welcomed into God's great big bubble, a family that cannot, will not be divided or separated by any walls we try to put up. Our bubbles may try to convince us that it is our most important identity, or that it's the only place where we belong, or that we can only act within the confines of our bubbles. But God really isn't all that interested in our bubbles. Or at least that's not the only place where God chooses to act. What God does in this story, what God shows us God cares about, is bringing all people together into God's great big bubble. God tears down walls that we put up. God saves those who are in the valley of the shadow of death, and God works through humble, ordinary people like Mordecai and Esther and even you to show the world that we belong to each other. We belong to each other, and we belong to God. And nothing, not death, not threats, not politics, not even our beloved bubbles, none of it will stop God from showing up, widening the bubble, and saving God's people. So, people of God, consider the bubbles in which you live, the palaces that you call home. Take a moment to despair about the pain and suffering that is happening to your neighbor outside of your bubble, to the people to whom you are disconnected. And then hear the call from God to be bold and to risk on behalf of them, to see them as family, to embrace the wideness of God's great big bubble, because we are all God's children in need of saving. And who knows? Perhaps you have been called to love those outside of your bubble for just such a time as this. Amen.